Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yes, it is. Joining us, the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, the one and only Tom Chorsky, as there's a plethora of hockey things to talk about as we move forward into this uncertain future, certainly for the here and now. Tom, thank you for joining us, first of all.
Hey, Maxie. It's always my pleasure to be on your radio program.
I appreciate that, bud. And we can take these one at a time. Let's start with the Gopher hockey team. Are they as good as 3-0 and counting? What do we got here based on talent?
Yeah, absolutely. They are, I think, and it's great to see that they've kind of, you know, hopefully we've returned to Gopher hockey as we like to see it. A ton of talent for sure, particularly on the blue line. They've got, you know, four or five, maybe even all six of the guys that are playing regularly are really high end. And jump in the play and create offense and handle the puck so well. Guys like Jackson Lacombe and the Ryan Johnson kid whose dad played for the Gophers. And then they've got forwards, you know, starting with the speedster and Sammy Walker and Blake McLaughlin and Ben Myers, and all these guys are just the real studs. And Faber's a defenseman, freshman, who kind of came alive last night, scored his first goal. So, yeah, we must be in hockey season here. I watching Gophers last night, and I got the Badger game on right now with Penn State. Gophers coming on.
Well, you really love it, man. You're watching the other teams play, too.
Well, hey, it's the world I live in once they drop the puck.
This is an aside, but it's kind of strange. When they did the draft this year, they had Tony Granato, the Wisconsin coach, as kind of an analyst for the guys that were being drafted, and I thought that's kind of strange that they allowed a college coach to be breaking down talent, because a lot of these players are most of them haven't played a college game yet.
Right.
And I thought, boy, that's a pretty good recruiting advantage if you think this is the guy, you know, that you need to go to pass the litmus test. I just thought that was just a little bit strange.
Well, he's a former college hockey player, played at
yep, and pro coach, right?
And he played in the NHL, but I think being a college coach certainly has your eye on those top prospects.
It better, yeah.
Kind of makes probably kind of makes sense. Speaking of off topic, I got to say, I had a couple people I mentioned, hey, I'm going to be on with Maxie tonight, and I got people saying, tell him say hi. I'm friends with his buddy Mike Getch. Is that?
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. The owner of our junior team is also a friend of Mike Getch.
We see it, Gage. And
Gage.
He just texted me to see if we can go hunting in South Dakota this weekend. He's going, and I don't know if I can participate or not. I'm trying to make it work. But when you see him again, just say, it's not Mike Gage, it's Festus, okay?
Okay.
Festus. Just say, no, it's not Mike Gage, it's Festus.
I guess he's got a beer joint up in Alexandria that I'm supposed to poke my head into sometime.
Oh. Yeah, you just that right? Do that. Now be ready. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
If the whole crew's there, and I mean Grumpy, Flabby, and the whole crew, be careful, okay?
Well, and Mike McMillan said to say hi, too, another hockey guy.
Sure, yeah. How's Mike doing without hockey, man? That's like air to him that he breathes.
He's busy. He's the director of the Minnesota High School Hockey. It coaches, so he's trying to get high school hockey back on track after this pause. And I've got a daughter who's a senior in high school and a captain of the high school hockey team, so I kind of stick my nose into the high school realm as well. And then I got a junior team that's in limbo because they're on pause, but woe is me, right? I heard you talking. We're all woe is me. We're going to get through this.
You know, and you're right. You know, we're all, but you do take a kind of a chunk at a time. Let's just start with high school hockey.
Yeah.
Do you see? I want to start with the crazy. Do you ever see a scenario where if they can't get it going, and the reason they can't get it going is because, this is what I've been told by Dr. Osterholm, is that when they play indoors like that, yeah, the virus lives by the ice and you can't move it, and the ventilation is such with boards that you can't move it around like you could in a gymnasium where it's warm and it'll move up. That being the case, do you ever see anything where we could create some kind of a winter hockey season outdoors?
Oh, man. I'm stuck on what you said at first. I mean, with the gymnasium versus hockey, I don't know. If you're using a basketball and every player's touching it and passing it around and maybe wiping their nose and their sweat's flying off their body, is that not a tougher thing to solve for than
it's not that. That's what I would have thought.
Using a puck and a stick.
But it's all about, the ice. The virus lives in colder conditions where the ice would be, and because of the way a hockey arena is built with all the boards around, it's got to move further, and you can't just blow a fan across that like you could a court, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm no doctor, but I'll accept that. Maybe we just put some Pine Sol in the Zamboni and
there you go,
and make the ice with some disinfectant. Outdoor ice, I don't know. I mean, we've got Hockey Day Minnesota where we have a day-long deal of outdoor hockey. I don't know that you can make a whole season out of it. I think the weather would be too much of a challenge, and maybe ice conditions as well, unless you have you need Zambonis really to make high-quality ice. So I don't think you can make a go of it. I think there's a lot of hard work being done right now by guys like Mike McMillan and the State High School Hockey League and anyone else, because they know that the high school hockey, and not everyone will see this or agree with it, but it is just like, I don't know, just like deer hunting and fishing opener. It's a little bit of the fabric of Minnesota, and it's important that we don't let high school hockey sort of fail, because people will start to go other directions and use other leagues and venues to play the game, and we don't. You know, we certainly don't want to wreck that crown jewel that is the State High School Hockey Tournament.
Yeah, you know, and it sounds to me, Tom, in talking to people like Kurt Giles and others, that the players, they really want a state tournament. However this is configured, they want a state tournament because that is, even if there's no crowd there, they want a state tournament. That seems to be one of the things that they're working hard on trying to solve right now, is if we start here, how many games could we play before we went to a tournament and still at a state tournament? It sounds like those are some of the things that they have to consider right now, or that they'd like to consider.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've seen with other leagues and the fall, the fall sports got a hiccup and got paused, but then they got that back on track and, they were able to salvage something. They maybe didn't get all the way through the football season and all the way through some of the other seasons, but they were able to play and I think crown some of the best teams. When it comes to hockey, I think every kid who's going to make their varsity team this year dreams of the opportunity to play in the state tournament. There's only 8 single A teams and 8 double A teams, but just the thought for kids that have played so long and whether they're a returning senior and gonna, made the team pretty much already, or they're an aspiring player that has been knocking it out at JV and now this is going to be their final chance at a kick at the can. It's important for all these hockey players to play in front of their classmates, play in front of their friends and family and neighbors and communities to try and get that chance to the state tournament, which is, it really is a special, unique thing for Minnesotan hockey fans and the hockey community, and certainly these high school kids.
Yeah, one of the strange things, I heard about a girls' team, one of the top teams, and they said like 20 girls had contracted the virus from being in the same place, same time. I don't know if it was on the ice or off the ice that they got from, but you're going, oh no, and then the second part of you goes, they might be the luckiest team in the state. If it's true that you don't get it again in the next few months, they could be the safest team in the state.
Yeah, the typical guidelines feel like that, once you've had it, you're probably immune for at least, say, 90 days. I think there are some that think that you can get it a second time. I don't know that. I think the data probably supports that it's very, very rare. So, yeah, once you've had it and you're inside that window, and whether it's 90 days or 150 days, there's a good chance that you have that, what they refer to as herd immunity for that team anyway. It doesn't maybe translate to our entire society, but yeah, to your point, that team, if they've dealt with it and You know, typically the young people are having, you know, somewhat mild symptoms right now. The data isn't out on and the history on if there's any long-term repercussions, and certainly we hope there's not. We have to be sensitive to that. But, yeah, a team that maybe already dealt with it in the fall. And frankly, some of these college teams that are getting to play, you know, that the governor has said college can play, and because they've got their guidelines, their protocols, they've got resources, they can test.
Yep, testing, yep.
You know, all these things. They frankly have had it already, a lot of them. And
mm-hmm.
and so they, you know, and then afterwards we'll say, well, look, it worked. None of them got it.
Yep.
And really the fact of the matter is they already had it 6 weeks ago or, you know.
This summer, ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I know the conversation that you're talking about because
good.
It's you hear these things. It's not that I'm out on a mission to prove it, but I
no,
hear enough
it's
in part
your job.
Because
you're
well,
the,
you know, and my kids are at that age where they're teenagers, and you know they say things, and you know they,
yeah.
Everybody in the high school always knows, right?
Right. Yeah. No. There's no shortage of conversation going around.
Yeah. Now, the junior team that you're involved in St. Cloud. First of all, let's hit the reset button. Explain how you came into this and what it is.
Right. So I, Corey Millen, you know, a friend of mine and college roommate of mine, interviewed and became the head coach. And while he was going through that process, and the name of the team is the St. Cloud Norsemen. They were formerly the Blizzard in the North American Hockey League, the NAHL, as it's commonly referred to. Corey said, you know, they're looking for someone to run the front office and kind of the business side of the house. He said, why don't you throw your hat in the ring and we can work together on this. We've always talked about getting back into hockey and working together in the hockey industry. And so it did work out. And, I was hired by, the Cannavati's. It's a brother tandem, out of Alexandria. And, we were the Blizzard. They had started in Alexandria, then they went down to Brookings and now they moved up to St. Cloud, changed their name from the Blizzard to the St. Cloud Norsemen, which was a real positive and kind of a fun process to go through that rebranding. And now really fast forward through the last 6 months of camps and tryouts and some trades and whatnot, we've really got our team in really good shape as far as talent level. And we've got a lot of Minnesota players that, you know, speaking of state tournament and marquee players and future college players, we've got some future D1 players on our team and a lot of skilled guys. And we're looking forward to when we get out of this sort of maybe hopefully break free from COVID shutting down things. And we had some issues in the past month with opponents not being able to come and play our series, and so we've been really kind of struck by it and haven't been able to consistently get on the ice. But when we do, I think people really see a great brand of hockey. I mean, the North American Hockey League is made up of 28 teams and 17 states, and so it's all around North America, and it's down south and it's in the Midwest. We stay in our area, and so we play Bismarck, North Dakota, we play Minot, North Dakota, we play Austin, Minnesota, we'll play the Wilderness in Cloquet, a couple games against the Richfield team, which is called the Magicians, and Aberdeen is another team in South Dakota that will play routinely. So we stay in the upper Midwest, and like I said, this league has been around for over 50 years, and just about, I mean, I think, I actually wrote it down here, 249 players have come through and played D1 in the last year. So that's a lot of players playing D1 hockey that touched our league. It's really good hockey, and once we can get going here, the Norsemen will be a fun team to watch. And you know, if you can find your way up to St. Cloud, or if you hear we're coming down to play the Magicians, or if you're in the Cloquet area, you know, come on over and check us out.
You know. Obviously, the junior leagues in general are the feeder system for so many different things. They
yep.
allow kids to mature out of high school, so they have to make a college decision, play their way up, get more mature. That could lead to a professional career, etc. But they're also driven by the gate, meaning you know these have become money makers. The USHL, we all know. I mean, these owners don't buy this just to go to a hockey game. Most of them, they go because they think it's a good business decision. What happens if you have no access to gates this year? I mean, is junior hockey in general? I know knows this is owner by owner, but is in general, is it in trouble?
You know, it's a real challenge. And yeah, you mentioned the USHL. That's the other sort of sister league, brother league in the U.S., lower U.S. here that has a lot of the top players, too, that you'll see playing for the Gophers, as well as, you know, all of the five programs in our state that we're so lucky to have. Yeah, and these, you know, frankly, these owners don't make a lot of money. We are a for-profit business, and my job is to go out and find corporate partners, and we've got advertising assets, whether it's, you know, on our dasher boards or on our walls or on our monitors in our building, on our website. We've got social media, all these things we're trying to partner with some of the businesses in our community and in our state. And then, yeah, ticket the gate. We're trying to fill up our building, and if we're not playing, you know, we're not selling a gate, and then when we are playing, we're limited to 250 fans. So it has been a real challenge to conduct all that business, and for these owners to try to move towards breaking even. No one's getting rich owning a junior team, typically, unless you're in another market where you're the only game in town and you haven't been impacted, you know, by COVID, which probably most have. But there's a couple teams in our league that play in a bigger building, maybe not quite as big as the X, but they play in a big community arena, and they can get 4,000 or 5,000 people, and they're the best game in town, and it's really good hockey.
Yeah.
So those owners are, you know, putting some money in the bank. It's a tougher deal for Minnesota owned, you know, teams that play in Minnesota because of there being so many different options for.
Oh,
for,
yeah. Boudreaux sold his share out, I know, up in Coon Rapids. He moved back to Hershey. I think he's got a team out there. There's so many junior teams now.
Right.
Did you send everybody home then, or what did you do?
Well, right now we've just decided to get to that point. I mentioned that we've got teams that play in the Dakotas, which right now is a, you know, a hot spot for COVID if people are watching the numbers. So, you know, going and playing on the road is not ideal, but it's something that we can do. And are considering doing, you know, sometime.
Sure, I see what you're saying, because in Minnesota you're shut down, but other places are not.
Right. So we, in theory, we can go play, but we want to make sure that, you know, we're doing it safely, and we do.
And you can't practice either right now. So
we can't practice here, no. So we would have to go find a place to go practice, and all that takes money, and no one's subsidizing, you know, too much of that. So again, another challenge, and it's all about these players, really. You know, we're a development league, and as I mentioned earlier, we're sending players to D3 and D1 hockey, and right now, all these players are sitting, you know, at home or at their billet homes, which is a whole other thing if people don't realize that.
Yeah,
we really rely on billet families, which means that we've got families that are...
Yeah, and you can't be sending the kids in there.
I
get
it,
homes. Yeah. Well, that's lots of stuff.
That do a lot, so we appreciate that. But, you know, these players are trying to get noticed, trying to get recruited, want to be on the ice, and your heart goes out to them because they can't play right now. But if we can extend our seasons into April and May and get on the ice, you know, maybe if it has to be January 1 consistently, then hopefully we'll be able to, you know, get these guys seen and get them on their way to playing college hockey. And you know, some of them are really hoping and relying on a scholarship or some sort of financial aid package for playing hockey. And it's a dream, and we're, you know, we're hopeful that we can get something going here. And that's the same thing for high school hockey.
Yep.
There's a lot of work being done.
They're going, yep. Yeah, and that's a good point. You can play into me if you want. Tom, we'll do it again soon, but thank you for giving us some time tonight. Fun stuff.
I love it. Anytime, Maxie.
You bet. Tom Chorskin, yeah. Nice enough to join us at WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.